Welcome back to In Focus here on News Radio KMAN, here with Dr. Bob Smith with Fort Riley Museums. And Dr. Bob, we almost need like another hour, I feel like.
Oh, we can talk about D-Day all day.
forever. And we're talking about D-Day. Today's the 74th anniversary of the landing on Omaha Beach by 1st Infantry Division soldiers. And we talked in the previous segment about just how much the odds were against this Allied offensive. And it was still successful, but with that, there was still a lot of lives lost. And how many Fort Riley soldiers were lost?
Actually, the 1st Division soldiers, around, there's estimates that go from over 1,000, we know, to up to 4,000 between the two divisions that landed, and that was the 1st and the 29th. But I think the confirmed is about 1,036 1st Infantry Division's soldiers were lost that day.
And how many were a part of the offensive?
Oh, around 3,000 initially landed. There were a number, I believe there were 8 companies that were in the assault wave. But throughout the day, there were, throughout that early morning, very, very iffy time period, from 6:30 to 8:30, there were 3 to 4 successive landings. Everything that could go wrong or could mess up an operation actually happened. The swimming tanks, the duplex drive Shermans that were actually able to be offloaded a ship and then would be actually propel itself, sail in, had 2 little propellers on the back, would sail in, and most of those sank because they were tested in the very placid waters of England and English lakes and on the English Channel on quiet days, and this was very rough seas. They became swamped, and very few of those made it ashore. The Air Force's contribution, there was low cloud cover that day, and they were supposed to send 500 bombers in to soften up the German defenses along Omaha Beach. They missed their target. They went 3 miles inland and plowed up a lot of the French countryside, and I imagine killed a few cows and chickens, French cows and chickens. So that created... they did not have the ability to soften up those shore defenses.
That's so key. I couldn't imagine if you're about to go on the shore with the idea of knowing that, don't worry, we're going to have some bombers, going to have to drop some bombs along the shore. We'll just step in after the fact. And they missed that.
They missed that.
You talk about bravery and courage in that situation.
Complete bravery. Now, given the Navy its due, a couple of very intrepid destroyer captains realized what was going on the beach and actually defied their orders and sailed very close to the beach, risking grounding their ships to supply the 1st Infantry Division much-needed bombardment to take out German positions. And so that happened. But basically, it was, I have to put it back on the grit of the American soldier, the 1st Infantry Division soldier, the 16th Infantry Division soldiers that realized that if they didn't get off that beach, there would be, that D-Day would be in jeopardy. And they organized around these small groups and actually were able to neutralize those German positions one by one. So we got to hand it to the ingenuity and the creativity of those junior officers, those NCOs, those individual soldiers in winning the day on Omaha Beach.
Brady Bowman here with Dr. Bob Smith, Fort Riley Museums, here on In Focus on News Radio KMAN. And you actually kind of segue into kind of my next question. If this would have failed, could this have been a total turning point in the entire war if D-Day isn't successful?
What it would have done, there was an alternate plan that if Omaha Beach did not succeed, then all subsequent waves of American troops that were offshore would be pushed over to Utah Beach. The issue there is that Utah Beach was further west. It was lightly defended. Actually, the troops that landed there actually walked off the beach into inland. And those troops would have been pushed over to Utah Beach. But that would have been created a huge problem for the Allied forces, because there would be this huge gap between American forces and the British Canadian beaches, which were on the eastern side. Omaha Beach was sort of the connecting tissue between the American beaches and the Allied British Canadian beaches.
So I guess just give us a little snapshot then. At this point, on June 6, 1944, how is the war going at this point? Is it still kind of a toss-up to a degree, or was this kind of the key, the catalyst, if you will, in making sure it ended a year later?
It was the catalyst. There was a lot of political pressure put on the United States and Great Britain by the Soviet Union, because there was a German offensive in 1943, and the Russians needed relief, and they needed to have the German troops taken off of the front and sent to the Western Front to take care of any kind of second front. And it was absolutely necessary that President Roosevelt and Winston Churchill had promised Joseph Stalin of Russia that we would open a second front to draw that German strength off. So D-Day would, as I had said earlier, was pretty much the beginning of the end of the German occupation of Western Europe and the fall of Nazi Germany. And so D-Day was significant in creating the end to be in sight.
Basically the idea of trying to spread the German forces then, basically.
Exactly.
Here with Dr. Bob Smith, Port Riley Museums. Also, I do want to remind folks that the Eisenhower Library in Abilene, this really fits with what we're talking, they're also having an anniversary of D-Day, and they will be playing The Big Red One, a World War II film that has Mark Hamill in it.
And
Luke
directed,
Skywalker. Yeah.
And directed by a guy by the name of Sam Fuller, who actually served in World War II with the Big Red One. This was his crowning achievement that he wanted to do. He was a Hollywood director, and he wanted to tell the Big Red One story.
Came out in 1980, so he was already Luke for a couple of years by this point. But again, Mark Hamill's in it, and that will be from 2 to 4 p.m. at the Eisenhower Library at the Visitor Center Auditorium. If you want to check that out in Abilene, it is a free event, so fits very well with what we're talking about right now. Omaha Beach, Utah Beach. As far as Omaha, that's where 1st Infantry Division soldiers landed. Why was it called Omaha Beach?
It was actually the beaches were the code names named after the different U.S. Corps commanders at that time, their birthplaces, and so the Corps commander commanded the American forces on that particular beach, it was named Omaha. The British beaches, Sword, Gold, and Juno, have an interesting history in that Winston Churchill was involved there. And Winston Churchill wanted to name all of the British beaches after fish. So you have Goldfish, Swordfish. But the Canadians landed on Juno, and the Canadians wanted no part of having their beach named after a fish. And so the second choice was classical Greek and Roman gods. And so that's how Juno. But I always thought that was an interesting. I always wondered about why that the beaches were named that. And I found that a couple of years ago in one of the histories of the D-Day invasion.
That's the joy of history research, right? Those details.
It's those little details and those little odd stories.
It is. And there's so many of them. You know, real quick, maybe give us an update on how on Fort Riley Museums. I know there's still some renovation going on, I understand.
Major renovations going on. The contractors are in there. They're just about finishing up the taking out all the old exhibits and preparing the building for its renovation. A lot of the demolition has already occurred. The buildings, I must say, it will take a little while. We're planning on an opening in the spring of 2020, but they will be first-class museums in the state of Kansas. They will be basically modernized, folks like the high-tech and things, and so we'll have a lot of high-tech exhibits in there. But it's coming along well. We ask all of our good patrons to be patient, and we will very shortly be announcing the opening of a temporary museum on post, though,
and
sometime this summer.
Sometime this summer.
Yes.
And I'm sure there's a lot of D-Day artifacts in the collection of Fort Riley?
There are some very interesting D-Day artifacts. We have, probably my favorite, is a small signal book where a signalman landed on June 6th and wrote his thoughts in a diary, and loved the entry on June 7th. After this momentous day of getting on the beach, on June 7th, he has one entry, and that was, "I changed my socks."
That's it.
That's it.
After such a, that's really interesting. And this lasted a day, right? I mean, they were able to accomplish their mission in a day.
They accomplished their mission, and they were able to move 1 mile inland that day. It was a tough fight, but they were able to stay on the beach, hold their lodgment, and from there on, it was moving on to Germany in the end of Nazi Germany.
Really amazing. Really amazing.
Very
if there's
amazing.
Anything, you know, it's crazy times right now in the country at points. And sometimes you have a lot of people question patriotism, et cetera, et cetera. But when I hear about stuff like this, that you can't help but feel patriotic when you hear about what these soldiers accomplished and taking out Nazi Germany. That I feel really patriotic when I hear about that stuff.
Yeah.
So,
as it was said, the greatest generation.
Indeed. Indeed. Thanks so much, Doctor.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, anytime. Come on back. Dr. Bob Smith, Director of Fort Riley Museums. Again, 74th anniversary of D-Day today. A lot of Fort Riley soldiers sacrificed their lives for that, and we thank them. Thanks so much for listening. Come on back tomorrow. We'll have more in focus. And it's on demand. I do want to mention that. Miss it later. It's on demand on newsradiokman.com.
Bank wants to be your bank. Find the solution you've been looking for at ksstate.bank. KS State Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
KMAN, Manhattan.
Sponsored by TheraWorks Relief.
I'm Steve Kaif, and President Trump.